Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All right, the title of today's message is Scarred for Life. It's not exactly going to be a light one today, but we'll go with it. In the Bible, there is a word used one time, and it's the word stigma. There's a stigma about something or about someone. Let me read you the definition out of just the Webster's Dictionary. It can be a scar left by a hot iron or a brand of shame or discredit. It could be a stain, an identifying mark or characteristic. But the second definition they use is a stigmata, plural, which is bodily marks or pains resembling the wounds of the crucified Christ and sometimes accompanying religious ecstasy. And then the third definition, a small spot, scar, or opening or plant, an animal, a whole other context. It's funny how the gospel's even in the dictionary. And you look up the word stigma and it's used in the scripture. It is exactly that. And there's a place where Paul refers to this in the scriptures that he bears in his body, literally the marks of knowing Christ, the stigma. If we went around the room, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but this is hard to find a lot of times in America, not in the world, but in America. If we went around the room and I said, show me your scars for being a Christian. Show me where you've been beaten, or you've been stabbed, or you've been shot for no other reason but being a Christian. And I'd almost hesitate to say raise your hands, because if somebody's here, I'm going to have to sit down and let you come speak. Now, it's not that it was uncommon in Scripture, and really, guys, it's not that it's uncommon in the world today. It's just that we have such freedom. I know we may not be able to pray in schools, a lot of things we can't do, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things we still can do. And if we just did the things that we can do, I think it would change a lot of things we think we can't do, because God would intervene so dramatically. There are people, and I'll read you some of this stuff in the Bible in a minute. There are people who this thing about being a Christian was not about, oh, it's raining today, I think I'll sleep in. And that was their great sacrifice to get up in the rain and go to church. I mean, there were people who literally had to make a decision, claim Christ or I'm going to walk away from this deal and deny him. And when they said, yes, I believe, it could cost them their life. Now, when it comes time to stand up for Christ and they say, we're not going to kill you, we're going to beat you. We're not going to kill you, we're going to torture you. We're not going to kill you, we're going to kick you out of our family. And you start suffering. I can tell you stuff in my life, there's been a lot of pain. But usually the pain that I have and the pain that you have is a result of my own stupidity or someone else's stupidity. And it really has nothing to do with being a Christian. Oh, I've suffered so much in my life. And I say, well, why? And then these people that come to me and say, well, this bad thing happened to me. Why is God doing this to me? And I'm like, God didn't put you in bed with that woman. He's not doing anything to you. You know, why am I going to have a baby? Because you slept with someone you're not married to. You know, that. Don't blame God for this stuff you get into. Why is my car totaled? Because you drove it drunk. And we were waving our hands and fists at God and blaming all this. He's like, look, you know, you're blaming stuff on me. I'm trying to help you. And the pain and the suffering that we have a lot of times is a result of our own nonsense. Now, if you ever get through that stage and you really are doing the God thing, and all of a sudden you start getting hammered and hit from all sides because you're standing up. Now, guys, let me throw this in here before I forget it. You're going to have enough trouble and enough stuff hits you for being a Christian without making trouble of your own. There are Christians out there that are just Shiite. They're little nuts. You know, the gospel is foolishness, the Bible says, in itself. Don't be foolish. I mean, you don't have to embarrass God. It's going to get heated enough if you stand up and live it anyway. But there are Christians who just do really bizarre things. And in a lot of ways, turn more people from Christ. And they're trying so hard to look committed and all these things. If you let your light shine, somebody's going to see it. You don't have to make the sun shine. It just shines. And if you'll let Christ live in you and you'll abide in Him, as the Scripture says, and let Him live in you and through you, somebody's going to see the difference, and you're going to see people's lives changed around you, but you're also going to get hit. And you can turn on the TV. I'll tell you what, it's very frustrating to me. I think God wants to bless us, and He has blessed us beyond anything we could ever imagine or think. Just the fact that if I drop dead right now, I'll be in heaven is an unbelievable thing. Not because I'm good, not because I'm better than anybody else, but because the way I read the book, heaven is a free gift. Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead, suffered for me, offers me this gift of eternal life. I said, I'll take it. I thank you. I drop dead. I go to heaven because I took a gift. That's enough. If that was all you get, that's enough. And I think God wants to bless us. But I would love to turn on my TV every once in a while and hear some preacher get up and talk about the fact that if you trust Christ and you follow Him, you are going to suffer. And I can take you to too many houses, to too many people who are godly people, and they are suffering for righteousness' sake. And they are being attacked by the enemy. And it's gonna happen. And these people that sit somebody down and say, well, give your life to Jesus, give your life to God, and you're going to be rich and healthy and no more problems. You'll be happy every day and singing. And I'm like, you know, where are they getting this stuff? You're going to have to rip pages out of the book. And if you read this stuff, and I hope, you know, you read the book every once in a while, but let me just read you Paul. This is what Paul said. Now, this guy, if you've ever read much about this guy, Paul in the Bible, the apostle, if you haven't, I suggest you read some stuff. He went from one side, as far as you could get, completely to the other side. He was a Jewish religious terrorist. He went into towns and had people arrested. He had them thrown into jail. He had them executed. This guy was literally a terrorist. And Christians all over were terrified of this terrorist. And, you know, he encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, is miraculously changed his life. He's saved, to use the biblical term. And now he goes, loses all of his reputation, everything he's got, and instead of being the one persecuting, now he is one that he used to persecute, and he's the one being chased. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. The Jews had a law where they couldn't beat you more than 39 lashes. I think 41 or 2 was the limit, so they'd stop at 39 so they wouldn't break the law. They wanted to do the right religious thing. They nearly killed somebody, but, you know, they didn't want to break the law. Five times he said he was beaten. Now, guys, that's enough right there for me. There's a point at which you just get worn down. If somebody sits you up, strips your back naked, takes this whip thing, and 39 times they intend to hurt you and inflict pain. If it happens once, you're like, ooh, I'm a hero. This guy went through it five times. I think there are going to be some people in heaven that when we get there, it's going to be, turn around, let me see. Let me see. And I'm going to be like, not put on the back row. I think I'm just going to go find me a seat back there somewhere. And say, you know, if I sit down and somebody's sitting next to me with all that stuff going on, I'm going to say, you know what, Lord, just put me up in the balcony somewhere. Because I don't even deserve to sit by. I mean, nobody deserves to be there, but it's going to be a funky thing to look up and see somebody who literally has scars on their body for no other reason but that they stood up for the gospel. And in America, somebody stands up for the gospel and they get fired. You know what the Bible says? Rejoice. Now, let me tell you something. Don't go to the office this afternoon and climb up on your... You know, I just see somebody now. They take their shoes off. They get up in the cubicle. All right, I'm trying to get fired. You people need Jesus. There'll be some nut try that, I'm sure. But anyhow. And don't come back next week saying, well, I got fired. I'm like, well, what did you do to get fired? You know, if you are at work doing your thing, don't use work time to witness. You're stealing from your company. Go on break with somebody. Go to dinner on your time. Go to lunch with them. Don't sit there and open your Bible and embarrass yourself and God by stealing from your company. Does everybody hear this? There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on at work in the name of Christ, and you're destroying your witness before your fellow employees and your boss. Because your reputation will be the guy only talks about God all day at work instead of doing his job, and you're supposed to be the best employee they got. Amen. I'm not saying don't witness, but don't waste the company's time supposedly doing God's business. If you need a whole day to witness, take a sick day, you know. Well, don't do that either. There's a lot of that going on too, I'm afraid. You see what I'm saying, though? Don't be stealing from the company. God will give you the opportunity, and the reason they will listen to you when you have a chance to speak to them is because you are above reproach, you're a person of character, you're a hard worker, you have a balanced life, and they'll say, what's up with you? You're not lazy, you do what I do, but you got something I don't have, right? So do the right thing. But guys, you're going to get hit. And if you are doing the right thing and living the right way, and a boss takes offense at that and has you thrown out, has you fired, God will take care of you. You've just been transferred. You haven't been fired. That's what I say. You've just been transferred. God says, well, you've done what you're supposed to do here. I need you somewhere else. But see, we're building our own kingdoms. We're so caught up in trying to keep that job we want, doing what we want to make the money we want, to buy the stuff we want, and never see that God has a whole nother plan. He's got us in a job, in a place, in a position with the people that are around us, and it really has little to do with really what we're doing and what we're making and whether we're going to be promoted or not. He's got people that He died for that He can't reach unless you reach them. And the devil gets us completely distracted in all this job stuff, and God's trying to get our attention on the people stuff. So what was our title today? Let me think. All right. So he says, 5 times I received 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I'm telling you guys, at some point, I don't know where I'd say, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. And if you go read the scriptures, Jesus told him, you're going to suffer. He told him going in. Paul was told going in, you will suffer for my sake. Beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. For what? All these things tied directly to Christ. I have been constantly on the move. He had to run and hide because people would chase him, try to find him. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers, people who claim to be Christians and turned me in. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily. And on top of all of that, he says, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and do I not inwardly burn? He goes on describing this. He could sing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I can't sing that. And see, you think you're in trouble when you hear a list like that and you go, wow, man, maybe I don't have any problems. And we get bottled up in ourselves and our own lives and our own problems and our own things. And, you know, we're not going to be able to go to Disney World this year. And you say, well, that's not a bad thing, isn't it? I'm just, guys, think about what you get caught up in. There are people on the planet while we sit here today that for fear of their life, because they say, I'm a Christian, I won't back down. My brother-in-law went to India recently on a mission trip. While he was there, this missionary couple over there in predominantly, I think it's either Hindu or Muslim area, and this man and his sons pulled up in front of this place where they're going to have a meeting, man and his 2 boys in this Jeep, and the mom's not there, and I think they had maybe another daughter. The group, the people they were trying to reach, surrounded their Jeep and would not let them out, the man and the 2 boys, and they started to rock and break the windows. Then they poured gasoline on this Jeep. And the man realized that they were going to burn him for being a Christian. He kicked a window open and tried to pass his 2 little boys out the window so that they at least would be rescued. And the people pushed the little boys back in and burned them all alive. The man put his arms around his 2 boys. And I got a picture in the mail the other day of the mother and I think the daughter going to the village where those people were and the site where they were burned. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I mean, I complain, I get a shirt back from the cleaners and a button's broken. What am I doing? I mean, what are we thinking? And there's an opportunity at church and, you know, somebody says, here, you can donate $25 or whatever it is. And we go, oh, that'll take money out of my boat money. What are we thinking? Nobody's burning my kids. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And I think sometimes, God, am I ashamed? And how many times do you have an opportunity to give a reason for the hope that's within you and you shut it down because you're going to be not flogged, not beaten. You're going to be embarrassed. And you say, well, this is too heavy. Let me tell you something. If it doesn't get heavy sooner or later, you're going to waste your life and wake up one day and go, what happened to me? And you're going to get to heaven and God say, man, I'm glad you're here, but I'm going to roll the tape on what could have been. if you had really given me your life. And the devil is a master in more ways than one. He'll come along and he's got schemes to keep you busy and just suck the very life out of you and keep you distracted. One passage talks about the deceitfulness of riches. We're going to get rich. Let's stay busy getting rich. And before you know it, you're 65, 70, you're out on a golf course swinging a club going, what happened to my life? And what difference did I make? Hebrews 11, 32. But you don't hear a lot about the rest of Hebrews. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And boy, it goes on and on for the first however many verses about powerful things that happened and great things that happened. But tucked away down here in the last few verses, the flip side of faith and where you can end up. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Boy, it sounds awesome. Women received their dead raised to life again. That's what faith will do. And then on a dime, it just turns. And others were tortured. All in the same thing. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. All they had to do was denounce that they knew him, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, literally sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, it says. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. People say, well, it's not in the Bible. I'll just read you the verses. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's part of the deal. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It says it in black and white. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That doesn't sound very fun. You say, well, it sounds like I'm going to have to be some miserable Christian and depressed and walk around. That's not the point either. Just don't be shocked when you get hit. Another place, 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, he's talking to Christians, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't be shocked. Don't think it's some weird deal, some strange thing, as though some strange thing had happened to you. That's exactly what it says. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. If you speak up for Christ on break and somebody thinks, well, I think you're full of whatever, man, be excited that you were counted worthy to speak his name and somebody, you know, came at you. Happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. That's what the Bible says. If you're suffering, fine, but don't let it be for murder, thievery, evildoing, or being a busybody at the office running around everybody else's business. Talking about somebody else. Don't suffer for that. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Trust God. Don't try to fight it. It's for a reason. Guys, we live in a country and in a time when it is all about comfort. It is all about easy living. It doesn't get any better than this. Everything about our entire culture is about making it softer, easier, more wonderful to live. And we don't want to talk about any problems. If you have problems in a marriage, just get you a new model. We can go down to the courthouse and get this finished up and let's just get right back on the market and find us somebody else. We don't want problems. We don't want to suffer. You're going to suffer. And sooner or later, if you know God and you live close to God and you follow God, you're going to suffer for knowing God. It's part of the deal. couples get involved in, you know, sexual temptation. And you think, why does he talk about sex so? You don't know why I talk about sex so much? Because everybody is thinking and talking and doing sex. It's one of the huge things that destroys people's lives. And it's a huge distraction. And if churches and people don't start talking about this, people go and go, well, they're not talking about my problem. I guess I'm okay. If you have to say no to that temptation and walk away, your body's going to suffer, but you're going to be better off. Do the right thing. You say, well, is that suffering for doing the right thing? Sure it is in a way. Because you're saying no to the flesh, you're saying no to your body, and yes to God, and there are benefits and pluses to living that way. And if you don't believe me, just try it. Now let me read you one more and we're out of here. Jesus shows up after the resurrection, appears to the disciples, and in John 20, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace unto you. Then said he to Thomas, he showed up for Thomas' sake, reach here with your finger and behold my hands, and reach here with your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. There are some scars this day, right now, on somebody's body that are literally, somebody was scarred for life, for my life. There are nail prints in a hand. There's a hole in somebody's side who died for me and who died for you. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And see, you say, well, if Jesus stood right here on the stage next to you and I could see those marks and I could see him, I'd believe. You know what? You wouldn't believe. If you don't believe the knocking on your heart's door right now, you're probably not going to believe that. And Jesus commented right after he said, my Lord and my God, Thomas said that. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know who that is? Me, you. We have seen nothing. People say to me, show me Jesus. And I'll be, I say, you know what? I haven't even seen him, but I know he's alive and I know he's real. And as unbelievable as it is, the stripes on Paul's back and the people who were sawn in two and beheaded and all the terrible things that happened to people for Christ's sake, I'm going to tell you something. There are no scars like his scars. And I don't know how this thing's going to shake down, but if the day comes where I get to put my finger in the nail prints and my hand in his side and thank him, that he could have stopped it, stopped the pain, not had to suffer a lick, but I would have died without it. But that he said, you know what? I'll do whatever it takes. I'll lay my life down. I'll take the pain. I'll endure the pain, despising the shame. He endured the cross, the Bible says, despising the shame because of the joy that was set before him. You and I are the joy because we got rescued because he didn't. He was scarred for life, for your life, for my life. And I want to encourage you today, I don't know what it's costing you. It may not be costing you anything yet. But if it does, stand up to the plate and take it and suffer and say, you know what, God, this isn't fun. He says, I know it's not fun. It wasn't fun for me either, but you're going to get a taste of what the kingdom is about. So whatever you're going through today, you say, God, I can't take it anymore. You let him decide that. You let him deliver. Don't you deliver you. You let him deliver you. And hang in there because it's part of the deal and it's worth it. In the end.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. This whole thing is a gift, and it cost us nothing. But even after we get this gift, it seems to cost us so little in this country. No one's arresting us for being here today. We freely talk about anything. We even can distribute books and tapes and just say and do almost what we want to do. And Father, I pray that the opportunities that we have, that you would use a day and a time like this to remind us when we go back to the office, when we get in a situation with friends, a social situation, whatever it is, we start to crater, that we would take a stand, that we would speak when you tell us to speak, not randomly, haphazardly, just whacking everybody over the head with the Bible, but when you say speak, Father, that we would know it's you and we'd open our mouth and do what you tell us to do. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And that because of your stripes, your scars, we have been healed and have that available to us. Use us this day, we pray, to bring honor and glory to your name. And we pray it in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.